Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and thank the Lord we can be together again. As I continue a message, where would you go? We've been looking at the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, and Jesus was teaching some very difficult sayings for much of that crowd, and they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" They left, no longer walked with him. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter answered, "Where shall we go, Lord? For you have the words of eternal life." But as I've shared on succeeding broadcasts, the Lord is still asking hard questions today. He's giving us strong teaching from the Word of God, if we have ears to hear. And Jesus said, if any man loves mother, father, brother more than me, any kind of human relationship or anything, remember the rich young ruler, then you're not worthy of me. God is a God who wants our all. He paid it all for us, and He's wanting that deep, intimate, passionate love relationship that has no one before Him. That's the first and greatest commandment, isn't it true? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul. In fact, everything that's in you, love God. And so, as we were sharing, as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, why do people go away from Jesus? Many times, it's because they're not grounded, they've got doubts and questions, and in many cases, it's a dependence upon their human mind and logic and intellectual abilities. It's basically spiritual and intellectual arrogance and pride. I know in my own, as I've shared a few times, time to time and in times past about my personal testimony, I was being exposed. I was raised a Christian, went out into the world for 10 years, said I'd never be in a church again, had the opportunity in 1973 to be around some real Christians, and the Holy Spirit of God was drawing me. But my mind was saying, I'm just not going to rush into this. I have to figure this out. I got to take this slowly. And I realized I could not figure it out. And I finally, in helplessness and confusion, I said, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. There had to be a willingness to come to Him in faith. And He answered that prayer. And so, in fact, I want to take a moment right now. If some of you are struggling with realities of the Christian faith, you're being exposed to it, you're being drawn, but your mind is just stumbling over all kinds of issues. So, Father, right now I lift those who are really struggling with Christian doctrine and faith. And Father, I come against the spirit of confusion. I come against doubt and unbelief. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, you demonic spirits of hell that would keep the called of the Lord in confusion and in doubt and in uncertainty. I rebuke it, and I loose, Father, the very faith of God to just rise up in their hearts. And Father, that they will say yes to you. And Father, you're a good God. We know if we will surrender ourselves to you, you will give us understanding. You will give the spirit of wisdom and revelation as we ask for it. And so, Father, I ask you to do this work, Father, that only your spirit can do in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for it, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. Doubt is caused in various ways and comes from various avenues, but of course, the ultimate source is Satan. If there's doubt in your mind, that's where it comes from. Nathanael, remember him in the Gospels? He had such doubt. He asked the question, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the answer was given, come and see. In John, the first chapter, verse 45, we find Philip finding Nathanael, and he invites him to come and see Jesus. And Philip said, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. If you have doubts, come and see Jesus. Ask that the eyes of your understanding would be open. So if there's any reality, if there's any truth in it, God loves a challenge like that. Are you true? If you're true, if you're real, show me that's the truth. And he will take you up on that request. We're looking at reasons why people leave the Lord. Another reason is that for some, the enemy comes against them with doubt of heart. Some have started out with being a flame for Christ, but when the real testing time comes, then they begin to have doubts in their heart. Doubts, this group of people, it's not doubts as to who Jesus is, but doubts as to whether his promises are real, whether they can live the Victorian Christian life, whether they have it in them to live a godly life. Satan uses these thoughts maliciously and in a very deadly manner. Some disappointment comes, and we feel like we've been beat down into the dust. Some sorrow comes to attempt to blind us, to strike us down, to check us. Sometimes we find that some of our finest hopes and plans are struck down. The things we wanted, good things, godly things, we wanted to see happen for the Lord, and it doesn't happen. John the Baptist, perhaps, had such doubts. Now, there's two ways of looking at this, but in Matthew 11:2, we find, this is when John had been imprisoned. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Now, he had spent his whole life being raised up by the Lord in the wilderness. He was the one who was to prepare the way of the Lord. He understood his calling. He understood his mission. He knew Christ. When Christ came, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But when there's a place of crisis, when his own life was being on the line, we don't know. It's possible that he may have had some questions why he sent the two of his disciples to Jesus. But also, there's another interpretation, that if we understand the wonderful ministry of John the Baptist, Jesus said, "Among man born of woman, there is none greater than John the Baptist. However, he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." John perpetually said, "I must decrease that he may increase." He understood his ministry was passing, so he very well could have been saying to his disciples, he wanted to release them. He wanted them to go and follow Jesus. He wanted them to see with their own eyes the works that Jesus was doing. And so perhaps we can see it was an example of the beautiful laying down of self, wanting to lift Christ up. That was the reason. It wasn't his personal doubt or unbelief, or whether it was a combination of them. No matter. The fact is, do we look for another? No, the answer is we don't have to doubt. You know, do we look for another? Basically, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. We have to look for another. There's another way to enlighten them. The New Ages offers all kinds of possibilities there. Transcendental meditation, all kinds of the psychic, the occult. Maybe there's another way for enlightenment and for power and the things we really want. Perhaps there could be another. He'll try to make you wonder whether you're serving Christ at all, even. John didn't doubt his mission or his love for Christ. But do you have that absolute certainty in your heart that you know that you know? What did Jesus say? He answered and said unto those two disciples sent from John, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Hallelujah. Who else except the power of God, except God be with him, who could do those things? Remember the blind man that was healed, the lame man? He said, "You know, I don't know, you know, who he is," when he was being questioned, "but this I know, I was blind, but now I see." Hallelujah. And Jesus said finally in that sixth verse, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Beloved, if we come to the Lord in the right attitude, we will get an answer. We will be delivered from every doubt. When we plunge the sword of the Lord, the Word of God, into the doubts that confront us, we will be brought out of the darkness into the glorious liberty and light of the children of God. Beloved, any man in the world, doubter, skeptic, humanist, atheist, agnostic, whoever she is, who will attempt a right attitude toward God, they shall be brought into the light, and they will know Jesus Christ is true and that he's alive. That's happening in the scientific community, where as they study the secrets of the universe, they're realizing that it just didn't randomly come into being. There had to be a first origin. There had to be a first cause, and that first cause is none other than the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, of the universe. And I've heard of those who did not serve Christ, Muslims, for example. They were told to study the Bible to understand more fully how to be able to counter Christians, and what happens? They end up getting saved. And so, beloved, we have to know that if we are sincere in our heart, we will come to the knowledge of the truth. Praise God. Well, I could go on and on, and with the Lord's help, perhaps we'll be able to finish this message tomorrow, and I invite you to join me for the conclusion. If at any time you miss a broadcast, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and hear them anytime at your convenience. Praise God. And in the moments that remain, I never close a broadcast without giving you an invitation to share your prayer requests. Whether you email, I would ask that you include your mailing address, or if you write, of course, I will personally pray for you in either case. If you want my response, I'm not able to spend much time on emails. I will personally send back to you a letter with a word of prophecy, teaching, whatever God gives that will bless and encourage your heart. I have stacks of testimonies over the years of how God has moved on his people as a result of the correspondent ministry. Also, as you write, I encourage you to request a real blessing that has been for UCM partners, those that have requested the Devotional Meditations for the Believer, a little booklet, 38 pages of assorted prophecies that the Lord has given over the years. Thank you so much for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.